One pair of hands on the mountains, one pair of hands on the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
Well, greeting everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on 5050 on your radio dial. Also being simulcast tonight, worldwide internet. Hope that you're tuning in with us here on the late hour. Tonight's message, you don't want to miss it. Footprints on the inward journey. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Footprints that each of us have to leave as evidence that we've been there. What about this little poem by William Kohler? And I think it's very appropriate right now to give you just a few sentences of something that he left on my mind. He said, God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and hides them in the storm. Oh, my. You know, if you're a seeker, someone that is seeking Yahweh with all of his heart, his soul, his mind, and his strength, and he's not caught up with the daily activities that a lot of us get in, and rightfully so, because we live in a certain world. But even that we can escape, because each of us, I want you to remember this tonight. If you don't remember anything that I say tonight, I want you to remember this. You might want to jot it down just for a reminder about your destiny. Each of us carries within him the spiritual causes that determine his destiny. Now, sometimes these causes are not so much spiritual, you know, with some magic gift, but they seem to be planted by psychological prompters. We have memories of pain. You know, Paul said, I die daily. And we just run over that real fast. And we think, well, he died out to sin, and he died out to the world. And, well, death is something that's once appointed, and we're going to keep it that way. If Paul died daily, it's evident that he didn't keep that once appointed. He died daily. Now, what's the difference between someone once appointed to experience death? Death is something that we want to put off as long as we can. You ever thought about death, dying at the moment of death? That's what Paul was talking about. I die daily. And, you know, both psychologically and in reality, if you read Paul's adventures, he was stoned on numerous occasions, shipwrecked. He even bragged about the times that he died. Left for dead. Given up and left for dead. Now, sometimes when we get our thoughts twisted through fear, hate, bitterness, and resentment, our lives are driven with calamities. But if we're born through the spiritual causes that determine our destiny, were we predestined to have these feelings of fear and hate and bitterness and resentment? Now, this is part two of the series that we've been talking about, the inward kingdom, the inward journey that we all must walk. There's no discharge in the war. We've all got to face the appointment. And why not practice dying daily? Now, I'm talking about a form of meditation. To reach in and figure out what your destiny was that would produce these spiritual, psychological prompters of these deeply psychological buried deep in the subconscious, which can only be overcome by spiritual understanding. A lot of us fail when Christ was giving us these analogies, these parables. He was speaking spiritually, and yet most people had heard him, some even his apostles. They took it literally, and he'd have to go back and give them a spiritual understanding that they could arrive upon the plains of the inward, seeing something deeper, and overcoming the memories of past life, pain, hate, and fear, bitterness, resentment, that so often is the driving force behind our being to determine our destiny. We can change that by thought process. We're told repeatedly through Christ and His teaching that we're gods. But we'll die like men. Is that what we fear in this religious trap that we've been placed in to really block out? We're promised through the Christian faith that if we remain faithful, that we can have hate and bitterness and resentment, but we can get saved from it. We can be forgiven for it, and truly so. But it has nothing to do with the spiritual understanding of the subconscious or the psychological prompters that wanted us to examine these feelings of fear, hate, bitterness, resentment that came up within us to help determine our own destiny. We don't have to stay in fear. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in hate. It's a state of mind. It's hard to be humble when, you know, you've got all these talents and these gifts and these things that keep your mind puffed up. In other words, thinking more highly than you should of yourself. Most people have this ego problem. Well, a lot of people, through their determination to understand their destiny, to go within, the only time they can lay down is with a mind of hate, a mind of fear, a mind of bitterness, a mind of resentment. And our mind is continuously, every heartbeat, is pulling out of our subconscious, and so no one is rewarded with the determination of destiny. We have nothing to be destined for, except we're driven through these prompters of the memories of pain. Is that all we've got? Do we not have no memories of joy, peace, and holiness, which passes all understanding, that we can arrive in our own journey on the own inward trail that we're seeking? We want to go within. We want to make it a permanent foundation. And we want to leave our footprints in the seas of time, particularly in the storms. Now, isn't that what Mr. Cowper said? God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and hides them through the storm. He's there all the time. He's wanting to walk with us. This is the fear of the inward journey. We have too many reasons not to seek our destiny within. Our mind, our carnal mind, I'm talking about the carnal mind, which is not subject to the laws of Yahweh. And neither indeed can be, because they're enmity. Now, enmity means that carnal mind is going to fight you for every spiritual possession to determine your destiny. Because our carnal wants to wait until we have no more life in us before we are forced to seek life, to know about life. But unless you can leave your footprints from this side of this subconscious state, in other words, the carnal mind has to accept, has to learn, has to be fashioned and formed until, what's the scripture say? Until Christ be formed within you. Now, if you try to arrive at it by the intellectual journey, well, I'll just get me a book and I'll study and I'll go to a certain university and get a degree, and I'll take up my time in the things of the world, how to make more money, how to be free and independent and have the things that I want. I want something out of this life. The Bible said to be content, because contentment with godliness is great gain. What did it mean by that? Well, the subconscious mind, when it hooks into the spiritual understanding. Now, three methods I've reminded you, and I remind myself tonight to remind you again that the process is quite simple. John 4:24 again says that Yahweh is a spirit. Now, planted within the subconscious by, of course, if he's a spirit, he's got spiritual understanding. Now, how are you going to get to him? There's a wall of carnality. It's a state of mind. This wall is built up because it fears God, just like Adam did when he broke some of the things that was against the spiritual understanding. He knew that he'd done wrong. Eve knew that she'd done wrong. Both guilty, both subconsciously overcome by the lack of spiritual understanding. Satan, beguile me, she said. Now, when you get the focus back in perspective to determine your destiny, you're going to understand again, God is a spirit that seeketh such to worship Him, and God works in this understanding. Dream, that's the way Yahweh can contact you. Now, remember, it's very seldom that Yahweh would overpower your carnal mind and speak to you personally. It happens. But it's usually not the case unless it's a last gasp effort of the Spirit to drive something into your intellectual mind that you've put there to build up a wall. Say, well, I've got education. I understand God. You can't understand God by education. It's by spiritual understanding. Because in the spiritual realm, to understand God, you have to become a fool. I mean, when you sit down and meditate and seek, you know, the Bible said the day that you seek Him with all your, you gotta clear your mind out of fear and hate and bitterness and resentment, lust, greed, all these things that so easily besets us, let us lay aside. Now, what we're talking about here, getting ready for the inward journey to leave a footprint. To arrive at some kind of a permanent foundation planted in eternity that we helped to determine our own destiny before we had to die. Remember, there is an appointment to die. We want to put it off until that appointment, till we can no longer breathe, until we have to let go grudgingly. We hold on to every breath. A man will give everything he's got in his bank to save his life. Just try it. You think you want to die, but when death comes for you to die daily, you put that off. Well, I've got things to do. I need to go up here and I need to seek those things. Without, the Bible said, seek those things which are above. Well, those things which are above are within. They're permanent. They don't change. They're planted in eternity. Yahweh the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the inward kingdom search of seeking within, most of us think, well, let's run to the next city and have a revival. That'll prove we love God. And we run to and fro, and we seek that spiritual rest, but it only leaves us tired in the body, weary from our trying to seek the foundation planted in eternity to determine our destiny. Our destiny needs to be determined before that we go into the dark, fearful thing to fall into His hands. There's a great darkness there. Yahweh spoke of the inward plane, fearful sights and sounds. like it was on the day of Pentecost. It was two absolute, spiritually planted foundations of eternity. And nothing has ever changed, even from that time when we got a simple, clear understanding of the spiritual, when it defied our intellectual grasp trying to figure this out through the foolish things. You see, foolish things can't figure out the things that are not foolish. That's why Yahweh hid it in a place we'd never look for it. Well, we are known for building great buildings, for changing the face of the earth and moving it around. What's wrong with it to start with? Well, so-and-so built a great building here, and he's left a legacy in his time. That's why the Bible says you can seek those things that are without, that you can run in vain, and you can seek it all in the wrong place. You can wait for death at the death end. Well, so-and-so was old in age, and he was ready to die, and he gave up the ghost, and he died. Well, at that time, what spiritual understanding or what determination of your destiny did, well, I was born to build this building and leave it here as a legacy. Well, what about 1,000,000 years from now? Will that building be here? I doubt it. Would it be gone, forgotten, covered up by the dust of time? Is there any footprints that we could find in that ocean when we were having these storms, psychological prompters? Fear, hate, bitterness, resentment. Does the Bible say, seek those things from above? Well, now, when it's talking about things from above, it's talking about things within. Remember Luke 17:20, we gave you for a text, as now we're searching for the footprints to see if that prompted a spiritual awakening for the inward journey. When we let our old self cleave to the things that we've been planted in determination, well, it must have been determined that I was to fear and to hate and be bitter, and to because my life is filled with those memories. Memories of that have become, well, we've been overcome by those memories, whether they are real, what has prompted us to hate so-and-so. Well, you know, it must have been something in the past life. Love is the highest order. There is no judgment in love. Yeah, but I'm not made that way. You may be that way, but I'm not. I'm just not made that way. I can't overcome this subconscious way that I am. I am the way I am through determining my destiny. Well, Paul said if you only have hope in this life. Now, if you're trying to hang on to your fear and your hate and your bitterness, and you wake up every day being that way, and that must be your destiny, something's overcome you and your spiritual understanding, because it's not the same. Joy, peace, contentment, godliness, how to love and replace hate, how to be bold and replace fear, how to be kind and replace bitterness or resentment. Greed, all these 17 works of the flesh that we could go into tonight, and we won't for the sake of not dwelling on the carnal, because most people only get lectures about the carnal. Well, you can't do this, you can't do that. Say it with me tonight, the whole crust of the thing that I'm trying to get over to you. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can perform through these prompters within my intellectual grasp. I've learned these things through studying the Word, not going out and studying some seminary. The Word is action. The Word is life. The Word is true. I don't need to hate nobody. There's no. If I hate, I gotta hate with a perfect hatred. You can hate legally in the Bible. You can fear legally in the Bible. The psychological prompters of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And when you let go of the old self, see, you brought this guy with you that you dress him up every day and give him a shower or whatever and put good clothes on him and fancy rings and gold and jewelry. And he becomes something to block out all those memories of fear and hate and bitterness and resentment. You can overcome your brother by having better shoes. You can look better in going down the street. Who would you think would be more successful? A man with gay clothing and a good three-piece suit and all of it pressed and cleaned. Him driving a Jaguar. Gold hanging over off of every finger around his neck, wouldn't that present to you a man that is overcome? What's he overcome? What about Lazarus who sat and begged the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table? You see, the ultimate goal of Lazarus was to gain something within and leave a footprint even in the midst of his storm. He was hungry. He was tired. The dogs had more compassion on him. The guy in the gay clothing and the big three-piece suit, he didn't have time for him. That old self and the rich man clave to the essence of his outward growth, not his inward growth, but his outward growth. He was leaving footprints of success on the sands of time, had no foundation. Lazarus chose the things that would never be taken away from him. And that new birth. Now this new birth is a change of priorities. I call it a placing your priorities in order. Seek those things from above. That's things from within. A new birth of the soul to change. All that means is a change of the understanding of the two. One, the intellectual carnal, and one, the foolish of the spiritual things, that he didn't have much gumption. He was lazy. Every time he went around, he was sitting around and thinking about things. Didn't have gumption to do anything. He wasn't successful. He hadn't mastered education. He hadn't got a good job. He didn't have a large bank account. But here's what the Messiah said, who didn't even have a place to lay his head. Think about this. A man cannot enter the spiritual kingdom or the ocean of the inward and leave his footprints unless he's born from above. The determination of his destiny, he has to be called with a holy calling. He has to be a sheep. Now, if you hang around a sheep, I've hung around a few, they've got things that can really tick you off. The sheep in the natural and the sheep in the spiritual are two different things. Most times the sheep in the natural do things to completely cause you to be angry, bitter, resent, envious, puffed up, separated, ego. But a lamb that's to die, we've had some wonderful experience with lambs. Some that the brothers and sisters that come with us on the Passover have seen some life-changing things that just struck in your heart. I've seen people weep because of the doings of the lamb. We had two lambs one time. We were killing one of them. And one of the lambs, who realized that the other was in distress, came and got down on its knees like it was praying for its fallen victim. You gotta have something in your heart to do that. You gotta destroy the ego. A pig would have been only concentrating on its own survival. This lamb felt that it needed to bow. What kind of a message it was sending to us made me humble. Made me recognize something in the lamb that I had never seen before. Wonderful things that I have seen to get rid of ego. And isn't that what the Passover is all about anyway? A dumb lamb. Remember I told you, he said, I've chosen the foolish things. These things are foolish to the ego, to the man that's got better things to do. Who's going to drive 700 miles or fly 3,000 miles. We got people that have flown for thousands of miles to see this foolishness go on and get a blessing when a little lamb comes and begs for the life of the other one. It left all of its safety. It didn't have to come there. It could be captured and killed likewise. Eventually it was. But it came on behalf through love. And the Messiah entered his death after going through these trials and tribulations to determine his destiny. He already knew what his destiny was. He was born to die. He was born to raise again. He was born to overcome. He was born to feel lonely, stricken like the little lambs that we learned such valuable lessons about. He saw his kinship. He saw you there and me there. We were always on his mind. For this purpose, I came into this world, he said. He had a clear, present objective of his destiny. Have you got that destiny tonight? Have you been called out? Are you one of those that seeks the inward journey on the cosmic sea to leave your footprints on the sands of time, where in the future you can say, I was there, I walked the journey, I went through it, I turned loose of my small, inconsequential self to take upon something within. You can't enter the kingdom of within unless you're born from above. You have to have that spiritual rebirth. That spiritual rebirth is just enough fuel and energy to overcome all things if you put off the old man, die daily. Don't wait till that last moment of breath to finally see where you're going. Christ talked about it. That kingdom's full of darkness. How can I accept some man guide me? You know, we have guides that sit here in flesh to prompt us, to encourage us, to seek Yahweh with all of our heart, to enter in the straight gate, to walk on the narrow path. We also have those within. They're masters that are on the other side waiting for you to come to the door and knock. Everyone that knocks, the door will be open. If you persistently knock and will not quit knocking, you have mastered the steps to the inward planes to leave your footprints on the cosmic sea, especially in the storm. What is the old saying goes, when the tough get going, or in tough times, the tough people get going? The tough get going in tough times? You have to have absolute concentration on the inward path to determine your divine destiny. Don't wait for the last minute to find out what you were sent here to do. Find your calling. Express yourself. Let your requests be known. The Bible plainly says, well, they seek it to squander it on their own desires. But what if you're absolutely yielding in submission to the will of the divine, to sacrifice, to be ready to be used, to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints? Every desire in constant reminder of the relationship of that divine destiny before you came to find your way back and to leave your footprints on the inward path in a straight and a narrow. Only the clean walk on it. There's no unclean there. You have nothing to fear. Oh, those who walk parallel to the path will trick you, question you, demand your authority to walk on that path. These are the tricksters those who would desire to break your will and your submission into the divine covenant, to destroy your sacrifice. You see, Abraham, when the evening sun went down, the Bible said he was in a deep sleep. And the horror of the darkness. And yet he continued to drive off the fowl that fly not on the path, but they seem to get there. I don't know how they do, but they do. They will hinder you. They'll hinder your thoughts. They'll hinder your desire. And that's what the devil's job is, again, to kill, steal, and destroy. He don't want you walking in the divine will of the man from Galilee, if you can please him. You've got to have a total abandonment of self and a loving union with the divine. You've got to have an all-prevailing and governing attraction to Yahweh and the inward works for Yahweh in a oneness, wholeness, seeketh such to worship Him. And that's the method applied. And although you don't want money, Yahweh can give you money if you need it. You don't want knowledge, Yahweh can give you knowledge if you need it. Every relationship with Yahweh, when you get into the higher planes of thought in a divine self, exceeding lead to perform above your capability in the depths of the storm, to leave your footprints upon the cosmic inward sea of time. Yahweh can say, He's been here. He did seek me. He was concerned about me. I see His footprints. Even in the sea that tossed to and fro, that inward man, and the Bible talks about him growing daily. There is an inward and there is an outward. The outward don't want to go. It don't want to die. It refuses to die. It refuses to take the time to seek Yahweh. It just sees it as a waste of time. Martha couldn't get a vision that Mary had. Martha seen the need to clean up the kitchen, to ship-shape the home. Mary wasn't turning her hand to do nothing, but she was immersing herself in the subconscious things that were being unveiled through the divine process to make those consciously aware of their surroundings, that these things are more needful to seek the inward than to seek the outward. Martha was concerned that Messiah would come back the next morning and catch the house. They wouldn't have time to clean it up. It would look a mess. Yahweh don't come back to that outward house anyway. He said, I'll go away and you'll seek me, but you won't find me. I'm going to hide myself from you. You can't get to me. It's impossible for the flesh man to come. He can't walk here. It's not a path for him. He can't leave a footprint even if he did. What do you need with feet and hands and eyes? The Messiah taught us to cut them off if they were a hindrance. Do without them. You don't need them. Again, he taught you can do all things. All things, that means you can walk and you can run and you can fly. You don't have to have eyes and hands and ears and that kingdom to touch the secret place. To determine the original determination of your destiny. I was born to serve Yahweh. I was born to find Him. I was born to seek Him with all my heart. But Christianity's come along and took us out of the inward path and set these Martha things in front of us to lust after. Oh, we've got to have the prettiest, cleanest, biggest church in town. Nobody can get any joy because of that. We have to do these mundane chores of the carnal. But the carnal mind is not subject. Yahweh's purpose is to have you to unveil and leave your footprints in the inward journey to allow Him to totally possess us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, to promote His image to shine through. To destroy the ego, the surface mind, and go into the deep things of Yahweh. If we live in the ego, we live in a total, mortal thing that is only temporal. We can only make it happy so long. We can only save our life so long until we have to divinely seek our destiny on the inward plains when man goes to his long home. It's a long journey. It's a fearful thing. Spiritual illumination. Drop all those delusional egos and will of the flesh. Anger. All the 17 works of the flesh, it's mentioned in the Bible. And there's more than that. The same old spirits doing the same old things to keep that inward eye so that they can keep that those two eyes full of things that cause emotion, lust, and you know, we have a sense of pride of doing these things without, but bodily motion or bodily exercise profits little. It's the enlightened one in the search of the divine destiny, granted the power to act through, I can do all things, I am, through the mystical boundaries of your unlimited consciousness. You can have what you believe Him for, if you want it. That's the secret of secrets, of seeing the footprints on that cosmic sea that you've got to sail. You ain't got no boat. Your boat is your mind. God dwells always right where you are. Shed thy ego, and that will soon see. Hidden within the most secret heart is a plan that was made perfect for thee. Yahweh made it perfect. He hid it from the wise and the prudent. He revealed it to the babes and the sucklings. It's a foolish thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the living God. Why is it so fearful? The carnal man don't want to die. Paul said, I die daily. We know that he had an inward journey, whether in the body or out. He said, I don't know. Most of us go through a lifetime refusing to die, refusing to seek, refusing to know. We're constantly being chased by the hungry hounds of hell, that when you would do good, evil is always present to destroy you, to discourage you, to change you, to give you an ego. Say, this is foolish sitting here seeking where there's no sound. There can be a deafening sound if you'd seek it where there's no light. Sitting here in the darkness, you can have light above the noonday sun if you request it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and I will sup with him. I look inward and I see Yahweh. I see all that is contained in this cosmic ocean of time. I can see the smallest pinpoint of light that shines like a beacon. If I can separate from my ego, if I can keep my carnal man, if I can dismiss him, if I can leave him here where he don't want to go, no way. If I can find it within myself to separate from him, Paul said, whether in the body or not, I don't know. That's where it's fearful. We think we've got to hang on to this old outward man. Yahweh don't want the outward man. He says he's not coming back. Give him up. Surrender him. Drop his ego. Drop his imagined hurts. Seek the real destiny of your calling. You were born to find me on the inward path back to the Father. And that's why it's fearful. That's why that cosmic sea that you need to leave your footprints on flows heavenly word throughout the universe back to where he went. And if you can find your time to die and obtain a deep and abiding bliss, when at last thou art able to see that the hidden secret of life is this: God wills, God acts, and God lives in thee. Well, you got my message tonight. We're on a series of seeking the Spirit and the secrets of all secrets. Action to thought is as light to the sun. Now remember this. Write this one down if you can. Action to thought is as light to the sun. and his only visible link between the ideal and the thing to be done. So listen to God when you think. Think on these things. You listen, Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. You can call me here tonight, live on WWRB. I've never done a recorded message. Most of them are live. Practically all of them. I like to be in your time zone with the thoughts of that moment, that we can profit in Yahweh's glory for that living word. And I listen when I think. You can call me again, 423-351-1082. The ego is only a faker, through whose fingers the sands of time shift. 'Tis from finding within thy Maker that you gain life's most precious gift, the action and the power to go within. Praise Yahweh. Now, our website, I'd like to leave that with you tonight before I leave. I'd like to tell you also that I'm sponsored by my sponsors, Brother Mark. Down in the great state of Mississippi, Brother Bud and Brother Ed, also friends of mine in the great state of Mississippi. Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748 in the great state of Michigan. Yep. We've got those southern rebels that reside in the Northland. They're covered the whole north. I think sometimes there's more of them up there than there is down here. Maybe that's why we lost the war. We ought to have them down here. I'm sure we'd have won it. Take that inward flight. Seek Him while He can be found. Call on Him while He is near. Knock on that door. He'll open. Seek Him and you shall find Him. Go to our website tonight, oneyahweh.com. Over 30,000 hits. Probably around 35. I haven't talked to Bob in a couple of days about this, but we've got a lot of people that's going to our website. And we hope it's a divine destiny of yours to seek Yahweh while He can be found and call on Him while He's near. May Yahweh bless your sacrifices and your divine will to seek Yahweh in the time of trouble. Go to oneyahweh.com and there you'll find our website. You'll have some informative articles, some messages, plenty of recorded audio messages of there of this sort that Pastor Buddy brings. All of them recorded there faithfully, dutifully by Brother Bob, our webmaster, who has attended to our needs for many, many years. And we appreciate that out of Brother Bob, all his time and efforts and hours of endeavor. He's not going in vain. He's an inward worker. He's a guide. He's a reference. He's a friend that sticks close to the brother. That's what the Messiah had. He gained the greatest, most precious gift, is the existence of the divine within, dedicated just to you. He never changes. The same yesterday, today and forever. I love you. I'll see you Sunday night.
around the world on WWCR 4840 on your radio dial at 9 p.m. Don't forget to join us. Yahweh bless you.